We're now going to read from God's Word. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to take it and follow on as we read together. Tonight we're going to be looking at Psalm number 40 and the first three verses. A well-known psalm, but it's one that can bring us much comfort at this time. Psalm 40, beginning at verse 1. This is God's Word. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Amen. And we thank God for His word to us tonight, and we're going to be looking at this passage together. So please keep your Bibles open as we see what God is going to say to us through it tonight. I'm not sure how you're coping with being stuck in the house a lot more these days. I'm very glad that we live on a farm and we're able to go out for a walk as a family down the fields, and we can even check the sheep as we go along. We can get a bit of fresh air, we can get out in the open countryside. But the other day, as we went for a walk with the family, and we were going down the lane, and we came to the field, and some of you might know what a slap is. It's not hitting someone, but a slap of the field is that entrance, and quite often it's quite muggy. So as we went through, of course, one of our boys got stuck in it, and it was right up to the top of the welly boots. It was the first time I'd ever got stuck like that, so of course there was a bit of panic. He started to cry and was despairing that he was going to sink and not be able to get out again. But of course he called out, he cried for help, and I turned around, I went back, and of course I was able to pull him out and pull him onto the solid ground again, onto safety. And he was delighted, he was so thankful that he was on that firm ground again. That's a wee bit similar to the gist of what's going on in this psalm here, Psalm number 40. And if you have your Bibles, please keep it out as we look at this together, particularly the first three verses that we're going to focus on. And firstly, I want to think about waiting patiently in desperate times. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in woman and never in a man. I'm not going to talk too much about that. I'll not comment anymore. But we can all be sometimes we can be very impatient. We can be impatient when we're standing in a queue. Impatient with slow internet speed and you see the wee wheel going around. Impatient maybe with these movement restrictions in these days. But that sense of impatience is exaggerated and increased all the more in desperate times. When that queue you're standing in is to collect a vital prescription for an elderly relative. Or the internet not loading means that you're going to miss that deadline for paying that vital bill. Or you're despairing about these restrictions because it means you can't actually be at the bedside in hospital of your loved one who is dying. In such desperate times, it can feel like we're sinking. It can feel like we're in a pit of destruction that David talks about in verse 2. This pit is a bit like being in an old well with lots of mud down at the bottom. And deep down, it seems like there's no way out. And you're sinking all the more in that soft, miry clay. You fear for what's ahead. And so many people have that sense of desperation in these times. They can't see a way out. And it just seems to be getting worse day by day. Fearing for business or a loss of income. Fearing for those who are working on the front line. Fearing for family, maybe even fearing for your own life. Well, in this desperate situation, David responds by crying out to the Lord. He's not calling on some other king or some other person to come and save him. He's not depending on science or the latest theory that's going to deal with the situation. No, he calls out to the one true and living God, the one who is mighty and able to save. You've maybe found yourself crying out to God in a desperate situation. But quite often we're not very good at waiting after we call out. David says here, he waited patiently for the Lord. This is literally waiting. I waited for the Lord. This isn't just some hanging about, waiting for the next bus to come. No, he's waiting with complete assurance and confidence in God. He's waiting expectantly. He's waiting with a great trust in the Lord, knowing that he will bring about his purposes in his timing. We don't know the situation that David was recalling here, but there is a sense that he is pointing forward to the ultimate king, the one who perfectly waited patiently on the Lord through the darkest and most difficult of times. As we come close to Easter time, we think of that sense of agony that Jesus felt as he called out to his Father in that Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the pain that he would endure as he would go to the cross and bear the weight of our sin. Yet he waited on his Father's plan. He continued to trust in that eternal rescue plan that would be fulfilled through his death alone. He went to the deepest pit. He went to the most desperate of places as he bore the weight of your sin and my sin and the punishment of it. And so as we cry out to God through Christ, we know we come to one who has gone through infinitely more than we can ever imagine, infinitely more pain and suffering and despair and turmoil than we will ever face in our life. This is the one who we can come before and call out to, knowing that he hears us. So having called out and waited patiently on the Lord, we next see that God delivered him. If you think back to one of our boys being stuck in the mud, as he called out, I heard him, but I had to turn around. I then had to stoop down and reach for him. And because I was standing on firm ground, I was able to pull him up onto safety, onto that solid ground. We read in verse 1 that the Lord inclined to me and heard my cry. And that word incline literally means to bend down, just as I did for my son. Isn't that a wonderful thought to think that the God who created all the universe and everything in it, that he would not only listen to us, but that he would stoop down to deliver us? At the right time, God took action. As in verse 2, David says, look at what it says. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. After all that patient waiting, God saved him. He delivered him. But not only that, look what else it says. The Lord set his feet on a rock and made his steps secure. Whatever problem David had been facing, at this point he was completely assured of God's deliverance. It might have been recovery from a sickness. It might have been escape from an enemy's attack, or maybe it was a family difficulty that he had just come through and had been resolved. David, of course, faced many of these situations and many, many more. Throughout his life, there were many trials. But as he cried out to God, as he called on him, he trusted in him. He was assured of the Lord's rescue and that it would come. This week we heard in the news, I don't think you could have missed it, about a pastor from Newton Ards who almost died from coronavirus. But having cried out to God, he was able to give thanks to God for his saving of his life and bringing him through this far. But just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you will be delivered from coronavirus or any other situations or diseases that we might come across. The well-known preacher Charles Spurgeon suffered much of his life with physical and mental pain and agony. He was in turmoil right up to the end of his life. But yet he continued to preach about Christ and the grace that was shown to him through Christ. He said, why should we have a life of ease when Christ had so much pain? See, he knew the extent that Christ suffered for him. And that focus put everything else into the right perspective. For him, Christ's death brought deliverance from something even more severe than the pain and the agony he was facing from his illnesses. You see, he was saved from eternal destruction and brought into that saving faith as he believed and trusted in Christ. He was brought into eternal life with him. See, these verses in this psalm clearly point us to the good news of Jesus. Because after his painful death on the cross, where sin and death were defeated, God drew him up from the grave. He raised him to that position of authority and established him in that position of power as that solid rock, that firm foundation, the one that cannot be moved or shaken. But it's not just enough to know about Jesus or to know these things that he has done. You maybe have learned them from Sunday school or heard them in church over the years, but that is not enough. We must acknowledge that our sin has put us in a desperate situation. In sin, we are sinking deep in that pit of destruction. And if you haven't done so already, you need to cry out to Jesus to save you, to rescue you. He is the only one who can reach down into that pit and lift you onto that solid ground. When we have that firm foundation in Jesus, then you know your life is completely secure in him. It doesn't mean that you won't get COVID-19 or that we won't face difficulties. Of course we will. But with Christ as our rock, we lean on him through it all. And we know that he will not be moved. So having called out and waited patiently on the Lord, and knowing God's deliverance, finally we see a testimony of praise. As many families in isolation in their homes at this time, it can be quite difficult to entertain the children throughout the day. But something that's taken off over the last week or so has been that children are painting rainbows and lots of nice pictures and putting them on their window, maybe with a few encouraging words, to make people smile, to bring a sense of hope to those who are driving past. Maybe that's something you can do tomorrow if you haven't done one already. But it's often said that after the storm comes the rainbow. And that might be your experience in life too, when you've been going through a difficult time and then suddenly your life has been changed, you've come through it, it's been transformed for the better. You can smile again, you can rejoice, you can sing and delight in that changed status. Because you see, the more that you recognize that change in your life, what you have come from and what you have been taken to, then the more you're filled with praise and can sing about it. David says in verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Having realized the depths of despair that he was in, he waited and waited and waited on the Lord's rescue. He was so overjoyed then when that deliverance actually came. He was so overjoyed that he couldn't hide it. He couldn't keep it in any longer. As he realized the grace that God had shown to him, it brought about a response of praise. A response that he had never sang or knew before. And as he sang about this great work of God in his life, he had confidence that many people around him would see this change. And that they also would put their trust in the Lord. I wonder, do we have that new song in our mouth? Do you have that new song in your mouth? Can you sing of the wonders that God has done in your life? Not only because we've been brought through some period of physical difficulty in this life, but because our souls have been redeemed from the pit of destruction. And our lives have been set on Christ, our solid foundation. Like there's no better place to be than to be in Christ. He is the only one that we can lean on at this time. He is the only one who will bring us through these trials and these difficulties. But the wonder is your life, is my life a living testimony of that incredible change? Is it a testimony of God's work in us by his Spirit that has brought new life and new hope? Do we show that hope around us to those who we meet with, that we have this hope not only in life and through the trials that we face, but also in death for all eternity. You see, even when everything in this life falls apart, or is changing, or is not as what we once knew it, we know that Christ has pulled us from that mud. He has taken us and put us on that solid ground. So we've no need to despair. We've no need to have that concern about our eternal destiny, because we know that in Christ we have this sure hope, a certain hope for the future. So we can continue to live in Him, we can continue to be a witness for Him through these days. Surely it's our prayer, as David said in verse 3, that many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Be my prayer that through how we respond in these days, how we live our lives for Christ, that many would see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. That they would know Jesus Christ as their rock and their salvation.